807 FM Talk 1065 and Mobile Mornings on this Wednesday. Glad you're here. Phone number, text line 343-0106, 343-0106. Can we get a physician on? Physicians that listen to the show. I know we have some physicians. We have a lot of nurses that listen to the show as well. Can y'all, anybody have any information about, has there been a hot fry overdose here? Locally, we have the little Zan story.
Uh-huh. Oh, my goodness.
Gone are the days of the old, you know, I like it when the musicians used to overdose on, you know, regular drugs. Now it's hot fries.
Let me tell you, I had an unhealthy relationship with Takis hot fries for a while there. I had to put them down. I can't even walk past them in the grocery store anymore.
Once an addict, always an addict.
Oh, my goodness. Seriously. At the middle school level, I volunteered at the kids' schools, and the children would wait in line for these hot fries. And I'm like, well, there's other options. No, I need the hot fries.
Okay, just don't let them OD on it.
they better not.
All right, time to talk to our buddy Jeff Poor with Breitbart and Lanyap and Yellowhammer News, and a man who spends even though the politicians will tell you they spend all this time in the 67 counties of Alabama, our friend Jeff actually does. Hey, man.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Greetings from Pike County, Alabama.
See? Zero
nice.
Time. What's up, Pike County? You're spending some windshield time in the state. What are you doing? Who are you following around? Who are you harassing?
it's going to be tomorrow, Walt Maddox. He's going doing a bus tour, and he's going to these hospitals that have closed around the state. I think if you've seen some of the reports, he's made mental health one of his big pushes here lately. So I don't know, I'm kind of curious to see what kind of crowd he's drawing and see what the narrative is, and you really find these things out by going to check them out on your own.
Yeah, and I want to get to that here. I've got to tell you what, we'll talk some national politics. I want to circle back around, though, because one of your stories this week up at Yellowhammer, yellowhammernews.com, said Walt Maddox proposes already existing mental health cabinet position at bus tour campaign stop. So I do want to get to that. But first, take us to Washington. I wish I had the dream sequence music here. Take us to Washington now and the latest on the Kavanaugh confirmation circus.
So we're looking at hearings tomorrow tentatively. We don't know if Dr. Christine Blasey Ford is going to show up or not. There's still some kind of questions about that. But you got to give it to the Democrats, I think, for here we are pushing the new term to the Supreme Court. And they haven't, you know, they haven't confirmed Kavanaugh. If you told me this when Trump's standing out there with him near the White House that we were going to be at this point, I would have laughed, because you had to look at it like, what can the Democrats possibly do to slow this down? And they found a way to slow it down and really put the public pressure on Grassley to do something about it.
Okay, you say this in an email to us, and this I want to flesh this out. You said, it's not good for the GOP politically to prolong this. Either they force through the confirmation and take the heat now, or let it extend into October and let the heat come on Election Day. Heat coming from the base? Where would the heat come from on Election Day?
So what I think would happen is that no matter what they do, they're going to take some fire. They're going to take some media criticism. If they push it through, if they wait, either way, they're going to be depicted as sort of the boys' club. It's all men on the Senate Judiciary Committee on the Republican side, and it's going to be used as a kind of a weaponized political thing, no matter what happens. I think. Therefore, why are we going through these bells and whistles and prolonging this? Go ahead, push it through, take the fire. You're going to get the criticism anyway. And then when, you know, it's better to get the criticism now than wait and get criticized on Election Day when people are, you know, going out to vote.
Yeah, you said that you feel like the Republicans are playing by last week's rules and fearing that hashtag MeToo backlash in the midterms. And I mean, is that because this story is, fits in with what has been the big story of 2018? They're scared. I mean, will people go vote one way or another in November based on this?
I don't think so. Now, I don't know that to be the case. I think people are, it's pretty much baked in. If you're going to vote against Trump, you're going to vote against Trump. If you're going to vote against him, you're going to vote against him, or whatever. and what happened to the Supreme Court confirmation is not really going to change a lot of minds. Sure, there's a lot of people in the middle, but as we know, historically, midterm elections are a base election. So, you know, is there enough to be gained in the middle in these purple sort of swing districts that this is going to have that big of an impact?
Because, right, that you and others had already been talking about trouble for the GOP in the midterms before the name Kavanaugh ever surfaced.
Right. And also, yeah, but let's play it out, though. Like, what is going to get people out to vote? I think this gets Republicans out to vote as well as Democrats. And we're kind of in a situation where each side is pouring gasoline on their own flames on each side. And whoever has the highest flames on election day is going to win. So I think we're going to keep ratcheting it up. And, you know, whatever opportunities or openings the Democrats have, they're going to try. The only thing with the Democrats is they've been at this high volume since Inauguration Day of 2017. So what, you know, or even going back to Election Day 2016, they have been really pushing their base. And I wonder if we ever get to the point of diminishing returns. Now, on the other hand, what are Republicans going to do? Are we going to have like a last sort of barnstorming tour from Trump where he hits all these places and gets their base fired up? I think that's kind of where we're at right now.
Okay, let's talk about this going forward, too, that you said here, we're getting to Rosenstein in a second, but you said probably a 60-40 shot. You think the Dems take the House?
Yeah, if you had asked me a couple weeks ago, I'd said 50-50, but it's just some of these seats are going to be really tough. There's a lot of retirements in the House, and where you have the retirements, I think the Democrats had the best shot. That being said, you know, the incumbent traditionally wins, and it's a lot harder to unseat an incumbent. That's not where you're going to see the flip. You're going to see where these retirements are in the House. So I think that gives Democrats an edge.
Yeah, but it's strange to me, though, because often you'll look at polling, they'll say generic Republican versus this person or generic Democrat versus this person, and there's one set of stats, and then when a name comes into the mix and you add a name to it, then it changes. So you're thinking in these situations where you have a retirement, it gives an advantage to the Democrats, not just to anybody running for the office?
Well, that's where you go to the generic ballot. I think where it's just a Republican versus a Democrat in a lot of these places where there's a retirement. Let me say this, though. This time in the 2016 cycle, on a generic ballot, the Republicans were in a bigger hole than they are right now. And really what happened was Donald Trump went out, campaigned, and he campaigned in all the right places, I suppose, and won the presidency, but he also had those coattails, and a lot of Republicans rode those coattails to stay in Congress or, you know, win a seat in Congress. So what I think, you know, is there a last push? Is there an opening there? Quite possibly there is, and we could be talking something totally different a couple of weeks out of the election.
All right, coming right back, more with Jeff Poore on Mobile Mornings here at FM Talk 106.5. We'll talk about Rosenstein, and I'll lay out, you know, my narrative from yesterday and this morning about all the unnamed sources, and let Jeff call which one might actually happen, or D, all the above. Right, 820 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings, segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Number one, you bring my buddy Trey and his crew in, you get the junk on at your office or a storage unit, a house you got to get ready to sell, maybe your house you live in now, maybe you don't have a junk drawer, you have a junk room. I'm not here to judge, but I am here to help. And a nice thing is when you set that appointment time, and that's what they'll do, they'll give you a day and a time, you'll agree on it. It also moves, I think it starts moving the locomotive of getting the family or the office or everybody together to get the junk identified and pulled up to get it gone. 1-800-GOT-JUNK, they could do things like climb the scary stair ladder thing into your attic with the creaky springs and the too thin wood rungs on the ladder and go up there and get stuff. They can get stuff from around the house. You got junk, you need it gone. You need 1-800-GOT-JUNK. So keep them on the speed dial, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, or online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Continue our conversation with our buddy Jeff Poore with Breitbart and Lan Yap at Yellowhammer News. Yesterday or the day before, I've been reading several stories here with quoting unnamed sources about Rosenstein that have said, Jeff, here you go. The one this morning, I think Washington Post said, and I'm paraphrasing, that Rosenstein either could be fired sometime soon.
Choice A.
He could retire sometime soon.
Choice B.
Or he could keep doing the job.
Choice C.
So that with that kind of information, I can now I know what's going on, man.
Yeah, you know where to go. You don't want numbers to play in the lottery. Assuming Alabama had a lottery, of course.
Ooh, that's a whole other show coming up. Yeah, but So what's your take? What's choice D? Is it all the above?
Well, I think he was probably really close to stepping away day before yesterday, but I don't see what there is to be gained. I think there's some Democrats saying, hey, look, you need to stick this out because if you resign, all of a sudden the ball's in Trump's court and he can name your successor for the time being. Or, you know, if Trump looks at it like this and says, I'm going to fire him before the midterms, then it's this firestorm and, that we're talking more impeachment and we're talking about all these things Democrats need to be in office that they can do when they have subpoena power. My guess is if anything like this is going to happen, it's going to happen after the midterms. It may happen the day after the election at the earliest, I think. But to me, it's hard to see how either side would want to walk away from the status quo right now until the midterm elections.
Right. But anybody that you would say midterms are smaller turnout and they are more people engaged in politics. I mean, if the odds are that Rosenstein will be fired. Whether he is fired before you take the vote or after you take the vote, you're pretty much assuming he's going to be fired, right? Or he's going to be out of that position.
Yeah, he knows. Or he's going to see the writing on the wall and know that he's not wanted around. And that way, it really does become less of a political issue. But I fully expect a kind of a big house cleaning after the midterms, no matter what happens.
All right, let's bring it back home here to the Yellowhammer State. And the battle for gubernator of the state of Alabama. You said you're stalking Walt Maddox right now. He's on his bus tour. You're tailing him.
Well, I haven't quite caught up to him yet, but I'm hot on his trail.
You pointed out here, you said he seems to have moved on from the demanding a debate thing, and you argue that's a good thing.
Yeah, so, and I've always said, if Walt Maddox wants to be governor of Alabama, he's got to do some things that you don't traditionally do in a head-to-head Republican versus Democratic race, just because there are so many more Republicans and Democrats in Alabama. So what Walt Maddox, if I'm advising Walt Maddox, I'm saying you need to run against the status quo. Don't make this about ideology. Don't make this about, the traditional Democratic talking points, the thing that always loses Democrats statewide elections. You got to run against status quo. You got to say, I can make the state better here and here and here. And I never thought a debate was the answer or kind of the magic elixir for that. Now, he's moved on from that, but I don't think this idea of expanding Medicaid or really pushing a lottery is anything new either. It hasn't worked in the past. And the thing is, Maddox is a...
I was just going to say, Lotto, we can now take that away, right? Since Governor Ivey said she's fine with a referendum on that. So, I mean, that plank is taken out.
Right. Well, Democrats like to run on the lottery because it was going to bring in all this money that you can do all these things with the education budget and all these things, right?
Yep.
But, I kind of think that this is the same thing we've heard from the last four gubernatorial nominees. They're from Siegelman. You heard it from Lucy Maxley. You heard it from Parker Griffin. You heard it from Rob Sparks. It's the same people surrounding Walt Maddox as surrounding them. So my question is, like, why do you keep going to this playbook if it loses you elections? Why aren't we talking about some other things? And if you could think of, like, other things to impact your day-to-day life in Alabama that the state could do better. There's probably a whole laundry list of them. I don't know that you're going to win many Republican crossover voters by talking about expanding Medicaid or talking about a lottery.
Yeah, it's interesting. You put it in language I can understand here. You said KIV is playing prevent defense. So if you want to beat a prevent defense, you're making some downfield plays, right? Taking shots 20 or 30 yards down the field, and that's what Walt Maddox is not doing. The Medicaid thing I think is an interesting discussion, but you're right. That's probably when people go to vote in November. So if you went and polled the average voter, they probably would have a very small understanding of
limited,
what this is
yeah.
about, limited
mm-hmm.
of what this is
mm-hmm.
about.
Yeah,
it's just like my vocabulary.
This is just Democrats taking the ball, running it up the middle, what they always do, kind of a safe play. It's safe for Democrats to do this because it's what they've always done. We know what they stand for. If you're running as a Democrat in Alabama, you got to be looking at some different, doing some different things. I've always thought that fixing the roads are terrible in this state from Huntsville to Mobile. Why not run against ALDOT? Why not run against gridlock in the legislature? Why not run against all these things that people complain about year in and year out? But instead, we're just kind of running the same old campaign.
Jeff, you better be careful. You're going to be a campaign manager in no time soon talking like that. Well, since we're talking pigskin play, do you anticipate any type of Hail Mary from either camps as to some last-minute, I don't want to say trickery, but some last-minute dealings that may come to surface, that may make the headlines, that may sway voters one way or another?
I mean, we saw kind of a Hail Mary pass for Republicans with the Scott Dawson stuff and talking about KIV sexuality. I don't know what you could really do with KIV right now that makes her vulnerable. And I that's not to say that they won't try. But if they think they got a shot, it's within 10 points and maybe you see some shenanigans on the Maddox side. I don't think you see anything from Ivy. I think you see ribbon cuttings. I think you see her giving speeches to Chamber of Commerce around the state. I think you see the same old, same old. I wouldn't expect any kind of fireworks from the Ivy side.
Let's talk about something that may be a little different in session this year. I was talking about earlier in the week as Speaker McCutcheon said pretty certain terms that there will be a lotto bill come up in session in 2019. What chances do you give this? Where do you think it's going with the wine spritzer of the gambling world?
Yeah, I think people in Alabama are going to say, can we just go ahead and have a lottery so we can quit talking about it? I feel like we've been talking about having a lottery for 30 years in Alabama, ever since Georgia got their lottery and Florida got theirs. It's been kind of an idea that Alabamans have been kind of teased with. So I fully expect at some point in the next few years, we will be talking about Alabama's lottery. But I think right now, reason it's such a feasible thing, a couple of reasons, just because of Speaker McCutcheon saying that he expects the bill to happen. I don't think the gambling interests in Mississippi are going to get involved this time like they did in 1999. And kind of an interesting thing happened on Friday on Alabama Public Television was the Porch Creek Indians, the spokesman mm-hmm. for the Porch Creek Indians, Robbie McGee, said, hey, we don't oppose a lottery.
Right.
So that's kind of a green light to go ahead and do it.
Right, because I've been told so many times and recanted here that if the tribe doesn't want it, it probably is not going to happen in session. But it also I wonder if there's a tell here when the Mississippi gaming interest wouldn't get in to oppose it like they did last time, if that's a tell on how small of a dent this is going to be. You see what I'm saying? They're like, okay, y'all do that. That's cute. I mean, it's not going to affect
us. Yeah, I think what the biggest tell is that Mississippi's getting a lottery. The Choctaw band of Indians, the Choctaw Indians in Mississippi can't stop a lottery in their own state. They're not going to waste their time with a lottery in Alabama. The fear with the lottery in Alabama was if you allow the lottery, then you open up Class 3 gaming in Alabama, which is the table games and the different kind of slot machines. If you open that up, the possibility is that the Creek Indians could have the same games and they could have competing casinos. And that was always the fear from the Choctaws. So I don't think that's going to worry anymore or concern. So that's why I don't think you'll have as much opposition this time. There won't be the bank account being drained to stop a lottery in Alabama this time, and it makes it much harder to defeat.
All right, and we will watch it in session. It is interesting. You mentioned Class 3 gaming. We don't have the time, but that's the, you know, the question is, if you're going to do gambling, do you eventually, are you just delaying what eventually happened in Mississippi, that you get all forms of gambling? You know, that you start off with lotto, even though Mississippi started off straight with table games, but that you eventually, if Florida, because Florida is looking at, they've got a constitutional amendment, right? Something about Class 3 gaming. So if Florida gets Class 3 gaming, then Alabama gets pressure, and, you know, where does it go?
Right, and you just the market's a lot different than it has ever been before with the whole question of a lottery and what kinds of gambling are legal in this state.
There he is, Jeff Poore, coming up in the new land app. What are you talking about in Beltway Beat?
Yeah, so Doug Jones has really taken, you know, kind of, I would say, changed his position a little bit on the Kavanaugh stuff. That seems like a risky bet, given just, I don't know, I don't think people perceive this whole brouhaha quite the same way they do nationally, but he's kind of taking a national tack.
There you go. Check him out in the new land app, our buddy Jeff Poore, and we're coming right back. All right, 836 FM Talk 106.5. We'll open up some phone lines at 343-0106, 343-0106. Big thanks to Jeff Poore for joining us. The lotto talk, I was playing some audio earlier this week from Speaker of the House, Matt McCutcheon, saying this.
I can say for sure that you'll see a lottery bill in the first session coming up. Now, I can't determine what the vote's going to be because I've got to see the bill.
Well, and part of that is, he says this.
Could be both. It's hard to say at this point.
What they're talking about is what it would fund. And this is, once again, obviously, this is a little bit of my hill to die on here, but when we vote things in because of where the money goes, and once again, I am as pro referendum on lottery. Mm-hmm. I think we should vote on all Class 3 gaming in the state is what I think the people should vote for, and see if we want it or not. That's why I joke that, you know, lotto, it's like, oh, we're not really gambling. It's, mm-hmm. I don't really drink. I just have a wine spritzer. It's the lotto question will be wrapped up in where the money goes to. And instead of making a decision whether we want to have the lottery, have the liberty to have the lottery or not in the state, it always gets veiled and cloaked, and not veiled as in you don't know what it is, but it gets wrapped up. The hood ornament of the lotto, it's going to be for the children,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, and then they'll say, or it's going to be for infrastructure or something. The people are not, if they do that, they say, okay, the people are not behind having a lottery, but if we make it for this, they will be. That's the weird thing, because I could take that argument to the nth degree and extreme. And you know what? If we sold fentanyl, if the state of Alabama legalized fentanyl and sold fentanyl, and the money went to the kids, though.
Right.
All right, we're having dispensaries for heroin here, but the money goes to the kids. Once again, y'all don't get fired. That's not anti-lottery. It's just trying to put some logic in the discussion.
Providing some incentive for voters
that
might not.
It's
right. And like you said, we're talking about whether you should go ahead and vote on all gaming at the same time. To continue a discussion from earlier with the hot chips, it's like deciding whether you're going to legalize the Hot Cheetos, the Takis, or the Andy Caps. They're all the same thing, right? You're still spending money on gamble.
So let me then hop off my soapbox and argue against myself from out in the audience and say lotto is not proven to have the addictive nature of other kind of table games and those kind of things, because it doesn't move as quickly. You have to wait, and you know there's a waiting period with it. You put your money down, then you have to wait to see if you won and those kind of things. So it doesn't have the ability to addict with the rapid intensification of the payoff, the mental, you know, whatever. Released in your brain, serotonin or whatever, when you win, you know, win something.
Andy Capps, did he wear the hat?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Just asking for a friend.
Which I was corrected the other day. We call that a TAM, right? So
A TAM.
A TAM, T-A-M, uh-huh. You know, those hats. And,
like the newsboy cap.
Well, there you go. I was corrected. It's called a newsboy cap.
Oh,
I said, well, no, it's actually a TAM. You know, that's what, I mean, the people in Ireland, the United Kingdom that wear them call them, and then somebody said, it's a news page boy. No, newsboy. Yeah, newsboy hat. I said, okay. Whatever it is. So, it's a look. I have some, but I rarely break them out.
I think if you're not going to use them, donate them to me.
I've got right? One green one from some St. Patrick's Day marching in my past.
I'm married to an Irishman.
I
could definitely represent that.
You know, I would give it to him.
Oh,
Okay, well, just saying. and then I have a plaid one. They're somewhere. They're in some drawer with my folded handkerchiefs and my my tie clip.
You know, Trey Bennett listens every day.
Yeah. So when McCutchen was talking lottery, he clarified that he wasn't specifically one that was bringing this up, but it was
coming. He's a speaker, and he says, hey, this is going to happen. Obviously, he's polled around, and he knows there's the support for it. Arthur Orr had talked about it as well. I mean, I don't know if McCutchen's for it or against it, but I mean, as a speaker, he knows what's fixing to happen.
But it's time, right? Because every state around us has legalized the lottery, mm-hmm. at least. And then you said something like there are only three or four states that don't mm-hmm. have the lottery.
Right.
So it's time for us as a state to at least vote on it and decide, are we going to be who we've been? Are we going to stay strong on our completely anti-lottery stance that we've been on, or should we just go ahead and join the rest of the country?
Are we the last person to buy the Hyper Glow T-shirt back in the 80s? In other words, everybody had the fashion look, and there we finally got around to, we're going to go get that shirt, and then 2 weeks later it's out of stock.
Yeah.
I mean, it's mm-hmm. will, you know, is this a cheap chromed version of what's going on in other states if we do the lottery? I don't know. This idea that it's going to solve all woes, and you know, or it's going to do it for the children, do it to all these things. Either we need to decide as a state that the people of Alabama want the liberty to gamble, or they don't. And then if you say, you know, I mean, here's something you never hear. Why is it that private entities run casinos, right? Publicly traded and private entities run casinos, class 3 gaming, all those things, right? Why don't you have the state of Mississippi casinos, mm-hmm. like state stores? It would be state casinos. Why don't you do that? People say that would be, oh, they couldn't do that. But they're going to have a state lottery.
Right.
Florida would be okay if Florida had the poker house, the state of Florida video poker house. People, oh, no, but they can have a state lottery. Why is one okay and one's not okay? And so I bring it back to Alabama. What if we voted on legalizing lotteries, not having the state involved, not having a bureaucracy pop up in Montgomery to administer and run it and mm-hmm. run the ads for it, which I always love with lotto ads, you know, inside a state. Like, who are you competing against?
Yeah.
You
know?
Well, if the state doesn't run it, though, who would run it?
Well, individuals, if they chose to. If you legalize, just for an idea, just okay. a little mental gymnastics here, that the state voted, we voted on a referendum that would legalize running lotteries.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So individuals or companies or whomever would go, so show some kind of surety bond, something that they could back up. They could take tickets up to this amount, pay them out. Here's the guarantee.
Okay.
The state takes a cut of the action, right? Because nothing's going to happen if the state doesn't get it wet its beak like Tony Soprano. I don't want all of it. I just want to wet my beak.
Uh-huh.
So let the state wet their beak and let private entities run those lottos. Why not? People say, oh, you can't do that. Well, why can they run a casino? Why is it okay?
I have questions about this. Okay. So the regulators regulate Mount Up.
That's right.
Mount Up?
Regulators are?
In the state, you would have some sort. You would have somebody there to uh-huh. be the gaming commission or something like that that would look into that, just like you do in any state that has gambling. The state has a task force that makes uh-huh. sure that everything's on the up and up.
Okay, because my concern is when you're mixing, of course, gambling, money, addictions, bills that uh-huh. are not being paid, things like that, you know, tempers get involved. And I want to know who will police the situation out of hand.
Well, I mean, if you just have regular, you know, things going on, then local law enforcement does. If you have some sort of racket going on, then the gaming commission, although, which I would like to see, you know how you have to have the stickers on the gas pumps?
Yes.
You know, which, by the way, I was with the outgoing Agriculture Commission and the incoming, Rick Pate. Well, it looks like he's going to, I don't think anybody's running against him. I was with him last Friday. They're good to talk to him.
Did he have all that energy?
He did.
Oh,
I said, Kelly still remarks about your energy. But, but you know, the stickers that go on the gas pumps,
uh-huh.
wouldn't you like to see that on gaming machines? Like,
yes.
like a big sticker says, been approved on this
yeah.
seventh day of May, just the way they do the elevators. This elevator's
so
been
balanced.
Tested. You know, this one's good.
Well, just like there are, you know, weekend poker games mm-hmm. being played in Alabama already, just like there are already bookies in every town that are taking bets mm-hmm. on college football games on Saturday. There are 50-50 raffles being held on Friday nights at high school games and elsewhere around the state. So all this is already happening, just on a much smaller scale, I guess, than what would be legalized if voted yes.
But once again, I mean, this idea, why is it so shocking? Because when I say this, people look at me like, I'm coming from planet Weirdtron, that you would have a lottery that would be administered by companies or individuals who want to get into it. Why does it have to be? Lottery's okay because the state's going to run it for you. I mean, that opens up a can of worms. State's going to run it for you, and the money's going to go to the children. Either you're okay with having the lottery or not. Why is it that the hood ornament, the emblem leading this, drives whether something is okay or not? Why isn't it the liberty of citizens to decide what they want to do? And you talk about societal ills, which are absolutely true. Mm-hmm. Those lottery or other gaming proponents that tell you everything's fine and gambling doesn't bother anybody, they're lying to you. They're lying to you.
They have a poker face.
All right. That's right. They're lying to you with a great poker face. And once again, let me go back and so you know where I'm standing. I want the referendum. I want the people to be able to vote on liberty. Mm-hmm. But to say there's no societal ills is incorrect. But in a state like Alabama now that is completely surrounded with lotto or class 3 gaming and lotto and sports bet, if somebody wants to go bet in the state of Alabama, I guess if they don't have a ride and can't find somebody to take them or can't find one of the buses that leave the state of Alabama full of people, right?
Yep.
Sounds like you've been stuck behind one of those before.
Full of people taking them somewhere to go gamble. If you're telling me that they can find no way out of the state of Alabama to gamble, then maybe you have an argument. But all the rest of them go gamble elsewhere. And whatever societal ills come from that gaming, depending on what they do, mm-hmm. they come home to the state of Alabama. So acting like putting up some wall around the state of Alabama like we have is going to keep people from gambling.
It makes them want to do it more.
Yeah, so there's a lot of silliness going on here.
We need transparency. You know what I mean? Transparency. When you think about, we talk about elections and issues that concern us, the key to President Trump winning, he was transparent. He told people exactly how he wanted to do things, and it was so unconventional that people fell in love with that, and that was winning. And if you take that same those same ingredients and you're transparent and you keep it real, more people will buy into what you're doing as opposed to those who think you're hiding something behind your back.
There we go. For governor, my friend Kelly Finley. Coming
you
right back.
Get a gaming chip, and you get a gaming chip.
We'll take your calls. 343-0106. Down by the riverside, learn to spin frozen wheels and throw dice. I was just 13 when I had to leave home. Knew I couldn't stick around. I had to roam. Ain't good looking, but you know I ain't shy. Ain't afraid to look at girl. Hear me out, so if you need some love. FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings Wednesday Style. Laura Ingraham Show on the way in just a few. Grab a few phone calls now too. Let's go to Chris in beautiful Orange Beach. Hey man, Chris, you there? Have we lost the phone?
Uh oh.
What do we do? Try it again. And from the top, I'll press the button again. And Chris in Orange Beach.
Can you hear me now?
I got you now, yeah. Loud and clear. Hey, man.
Sounds like a cell phone commercial. Good morning, guys. This is not a morality issue for me about gambling. I take a gamble every time I step in a wet tub. I take a gamble every time I get out on the road driving. So it's a morality issue about whether or not I want to send a big pile of cash down to Montgomery and let them manage it.
Yeah.
The answer is no.
Okay, so what
not
about
under
that?
Any circumstance.
What about my
so this
weird idea?
Idea?
Yeah.
Is a great idea. There is going to be a regulatory agency about gambling from the state. Every state that has gambling has one. Nevada, all of them have state agencies that regulate gambling. But to take the money out of the politicians' hands is a great idea.
Well, you know, I just looked at it. If it's okay, it's just kind of weird. You know, this is one of those riding down the road thinking about stuff and going, it's okay for these companies or entities to own casinos, you know, and have full Class 3 gaming. That's like nobody bats an eye, but the idea that the state has to run a lottery. I mean, now the people would have to come up and show a surety bond and show that they could pay them off and all those kind of things. And then, you know, of course, the state agency is going to take its cut.
I could vote for that. I could vote for that with no problem. To put the state in charge of anything else. I have a friend who just opened up a retail wine location, and he went out and purchased some wine from a supplier. Everything was on the up and up. Everything was exactly like he was supposed to. But instead of using a company check, he used his debit card. The state came in and marked all the bottles and said, you can't sell them. He's got about $4,000 worth of wine. He's just cases and cases. He's got a giveaway because he used his debit card instead of writing a company check.
Wow.
Put the state in charge of anything else would be a no for me.
Hey, by the way, Chris, before we finish up, can you give your friend my email address?
Right.
It's Sean, S-E-A-N, at fmtalk1065.com.
He would probably give you a case. All he can do is just give it away or throw it away.
Man, that stinks.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, and but we're pro-business, right? Pro-business Alabama.
Absolutely. Let's come in and tell you that you're not putting your foot in the right place, so you've got to just go home. It's ridiculous. No. No, the state can't run anything else. They can't run their own house. Look at how corrupt Montgomery has been my entire life. No, Chris.
All right, I'll put you down as undecided. it's, you know, the idea, like Chris talked about the alcohol side. Yeah, there's an example of where Alabama is, right, that we have the state stores. And listen, I've done hours and hours and hours on that. We can continue to do those shows. But you look at other states. Now, a lot of them have beverage control systems in them, but other states say, hey, we're going to legalize this activity, and we're going to let private individuals engage in this business. We will make sure, we'll have that they're not, you know, it's not poison alcohol, and mm-hmm. we'll still enforce the laws that say you have to be 21 or older mm-hmm. to have the drink, mm-hmm. but we'll let the private businesses engage in selling this.
Do you think it's the fear of the unknown?
No, I think it's a built-in, it's the ruts of bureaucracy that have built in for so long. And the danger is, I'm right there, when you grow up with this idea that, well, states administer lotteries and private companies or public companies administer Class 3 gaming, if you don't think about it too hard, you never question these things. But, I mean, is it fair to question them? Why, I mean, I want people to have the liberty, but just like Chris said, if it's, you know, a start of a new bureaucracy mm-hmm. in Montgomery, mm-hmm. why do they need to do it? Couldn't they get the money? Couldn't they get the revenue from some kind of, you know, licensing fee for each lotto operator? They wouldn't even have to have an agency or a new building up there. They could just say, this comes into the, you know, if you're going to run a lottery in the state of Alabama, you pay a 3% of your total. I don't know what it is, but, you know, you get the money in.
I think change is great.
But it's not for the children.
You
so therefore,
ask your questions.
It's for the children. That's why.
Don't just take it. Ask about it.
It's for the children. Everybody loves children and puppies. Except the puppies are, what are they spreading? Some disease?
Some kind of disease.
Yeah.
Oh.
I think it's like, what's the one that comes with chicken?
Encephalitis?
No.
It was West Nile virus.
No, it's whatever the salmonella. So we'll get that on the midday. All right. Bye, y'all.